All right, my friends, thanks for tuning into the podcast, where, as always, we'll discuss the professional literature and the evidence-based protocol as they relate to the effective treatment of clinically significant anxiety symptoms. I'm Chris Lines, licensed psychotherapist and OCD spectrum disorders treatment specialist, and this, well, this is OCD Straight Talk. This podcast is made possible by NoCD. NoCD offers effective, affordable, and convenient OCD therapy. NoCD therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention, or ERP therapy, the gold standard treatment for OCD. With NoCD, you can do virtual, live face-to-face video sessions with one of their licensed, specialty-trained therapists, and they accept most major insurance plans. To find out more about NoCD, visit nocd.com. That's nocd.com to book a free 15-minute call. For people in the state of Kentucky, you can go to kentuckyocd.com. That's kentuckyocd.com and book a session with me. I mean, I just think that it's something that we should spend more time talking about. Like, I mean, I can't think of the last time in session I had a conversation with a patient about like a good hookup. You know, that's just not generally something my patients are talking to me about. Like it's not therapeutically productive, generally speaking. It's just not something that we spend our time talking about. When sex comes up, patients are referring to their sex life because of its relationship and interaction with their anxiety symptoms. And the truth of it is that very, very typically the sexual encounters that they're referring to are ones that we might call dysfunctional because of intrusive thoughts or because of resultant anxiety or because of behavioral responses to thoughts or to anxiety that seem to perpetuate this whole dynamic relative to what really is beginning to feel like sexual dysfunction. And scores of studies have been showing a positive relationship both in men and in women between clinical anxiety and OCD symptoms and sexual dysfunction, or at the very least, sexual dissatisfaction. So it's for sure something that is happening for individuals in the OCD and anxiety communities. For example, a 2013 study in neuropsychiatry was discussing the excessive need to control intrusive thoughts in OCDers that contributes to a high percentage of sexual dissatisfaction in both men and women. And a 2020 study in Sexual Medicine Reviews reported sexual performance anxiety causes or maintains most common forms of sexual dysfunction, again, in both men and women, and states that sexual performance anxiety affects 9 to 25% of men, contributing to premature ejaculation and erectile dysfunction, and 6 to 16% of women inhibiting sexual desire or reducing their libido. Right? So it's one of those things that is a significant factor for people with anxiety. In fact, a 2003 study in the International Journal of Impotence Research showed a positive relationship between clinical anxiety and erectile dysfunction, saying psychological and behavioral responses to ED or erectile dysfunction can lead to a vicious cycle of increased uneasiness, distance, and conflicts. This in turn leads to a lower frequency of sexual encounters, less time spent together, and a lack of communication between partners in a relationship. And it's one of those things that, like, when you're taking a careful look at the literature, one of the things that you clearly see is that there is a positive relationship between anxiety symptoms, that is to say, clinically significant anxiety symptoms, and OCD, and the onset or the reporting of sexual dysfunction. You see that clearly. And what seems to be equally prominent is this idea of what's stated in the 2020 study in Sexual Medicine Reviews, that sexual performance anxiety causes or maintains most common forms of sexual dysfunction. And again, this is in both men and women. And so when you think about, oh, what is sexual performance anxiety? What does it look like? What does it look like for OCDers? What does it look like for individuals across the population with clinically significant anxiety symptoms? Well, I think that the answer to that question varies fairly significantly across people because people's symptoms are different. Their diagnostic labels, if you could say it that way, are different. Their specific fears, their behavioral responses are different. Their level of dissatisfaction, sexually speaking, and the longitudinal time in which that's been happening are different. There's a variety to be identified in terms of answer to the question, what does it look like? But for lots and lots of OCDers, I think what it looks like is a thought that something that's happening shouldn't be there. And as a result, anxiety that's associated with that thought, and then behavioral responses that are aimed at trying to get rid of the thought or reduce or manage or prevent the anxiety, and that in turn end up only heightening our sensitivity to those thoughts and the anxiety that they cause, perpetuating the whole system. You know what I'm saying? And I think that a lot of people can identify with that general dynamic, but again, it looks really different across individuals. Like whether we're talking about what we might call orgasmic disorder in either men or women, or whether we're talking about decreased libido in women in particular, or in erectile dysfunction or premature ejaculation in men, whether we're talking about the fear that I won't be able to get aroused or the inability to maintain arousal. Right, whether we're talking about sexual arousal that seems to present at an inappropriate or, say, inopportune time, and that therefore causes distress, like, why the hell am I aroused right now? I shouldn't be aroused. And then the very arousal, physically speaking, becomes a source of anxiety and is the source of, you might say, cognitive commentary relative to what that arousal means. It must mean that I'm, for example, a pedophile, or it must mean that my sexual orientation is changing. It must mean that I'm not going to be able to perform and please my partner or partners, right? It must mean this, and therefore I have to find a way to stop that from happening. So in session, I'll hear about people that that work really hard to check their level of arousal, like guys who touch themselves over and over again as a way of checking, am I aroused? Can I get aroused? Am I able to maintain arousal? Or similarly, women who are checking to make sure they're not aroused when they shouldn't be aroused. And this is why I talk about keeping tabs on what you're doing, because so often, it is so very, very often that people will gloss over and will filter out and will fail to see behaviors that they're engaging that are perpetuating the very anxiety that they're experiencing and increasing the sensitivity that they already have to their unwanted thoughts. So the behaviors are money. And you've got to identify the behaviors, because it's like in perpetuating and engaging the behaviors, you're perpetuating your sensitivity level to the intrusive thoughts and the intensity of the anxiety that they cause. Like the whole thing just gets fueled by the engagement of the behaviors, right? And this is really the heartbeat of OCD Straight Talk. This is what I talk to you about, generally speaking, episode after episode after episode. You know, and maybe some of you fatigue and get a little bit tired of hearing about it, but the reality of the situation is like, dude, you're not going to get better if you're not working to identify and stop your behaviors. Like, I don't care if you're dealing with specific phobia, or if you're dealing with OCD, or if you're dealing with panic disorder, or if you're dealing with sexual performance anxiety. The reality of the situation is the same. And this brings us back to this concept that sometimes it's not just the intrusive thoughts that cause anxiety for people relative to sexual performance anxiety. Sometimes people will report various physical sensations, like in the case of panic disorder, right? Hyperventilation and dizziness and sweatiness is something of a, what you might call a trigger. They're so associated with the experience of panic attacks that whenever we start sweating or feeling dizzy or lightheaded or begin in some way feeling chest tightness or difficulty breathing, it triggers a panic attack. And in a similar way, for people engaging sexually, when they begin to experience some kinds of what you might say are like irrelevant physical symptoms those physical symptoms immediately trigger thoughts that it's happening, right? And the more they're paying attention to the future, even if the future is like 30 seconds away, that I'm going to lose my arousal, right? I'm not going to be able to maintain my erection. I'm not going to be able to have a libido, whatever it is. I'm not going to, the moment isn't going to be right. I'm not going to be ready. Right? The more they're paying attention, if you will, to that out there, the more they're not paying attention to this right now. Right. And the experience of engaging sexually takes very much a side street, a second place to the possibility of another bad sexual experience. You know what I'm saying? And so a lot of the game is like being present in the moment. And I've told you stories about this before, people with sexual orientation OCD, for example, and typically, not always, but often this presents in males, right? And guys will come into session and they'll report, like, I was trying to, you know, whatever, hook up with this girl the other night and I couldn't keep an erection. I've heard that many, many times, right? And the reality of the situation is it's because you're in your head. It's because you're checking and then you're ruminating on what it means that you can't seem to maintain your erection. And the anxiety, of course, climbs from there. And the more he's feeling anxious, the less he's feeling aroused. And the less he's feeling aroused, then she starts to notice. And she's like, you don't seem to be very into this. And then, of course, that becomes more evidence that he's not really straight, but he's gay or whatever it is. And, you know, it's just like the whole thing becomes this nasty cycle that builds on itself as more and more behaviors are engaged in this like failed attempt to prevent and then to stall out and to turn around these symptoms. And so I say again, like, anxiety and sexuality, they seem to have a positive relationship, but the way that presents in individuals is myriad and various. So we can get into the specifics of it and we can talk about all the details, but the reality of the situation is really, regardless of the individual uniquenesses of the case, all roads seem to lead back eventually to let's identify and stop the behaviors. Whether it's a fear of losing an erection, or it's a fear of being aroused when we shouldn't be aroused, we're thinking, or it's a fear of not being able to please my partner, or if it's a fear that I won't be able to get an erection to begin with, whatever it is, it becomes a question of, okay, let's work to be present in the moment. Let's work to identify and stop behaviors that are aimed at preventing or managing anxiety, that are aimed at trying to get rid of the intrusive thoughts or whatever it is. And again, I say again to you, so often, this is the element that patients miss, right? And they hear me say it, and they hear me say it again and again and again, but so often, this is the piece that people miss. And I'm not just talking about sexual performance anxiety or where anxiety relates to sexual dysfunction and informs sexual dissatisfaction. I'm talking about OCDers and individuals with clinically significant anxiety in general. This is the piece that so often people need to be told over and over and over again. And again, I'm not saying that to insult anybody. Truly, I am not. I'm just saying it from a place of experience. And based upon a fair amount of clinical experience, I can tell you people who are in session and who are working on a regular weekly basis with a professional need to be told over and over again. And so if you're not in therapy, you're just listening to the podcast or whatever it is, I'm telling you, listen to me. Listen, you have to work to stay in the present. That means not ruminating, right? That means not checking. And whatever form of checking you're engaging, there's lots and lots of different forms of checking. So like, look at this thing with your eyes open. Pay attention to what you're doing. I mean, this really matters. Really matters. And even the literature that's like back in 2003 is saying psychological and behavioral responses to ED. And again, remember the 2020 study shows that sexual performance anxiety causes or maintains most common forms of sexual dysfunction. So behind ED, this study would suggest, is sexual performance anxiety. What the hell is behind sexual performance anxiety? The answer is behaviors. You have to work to identify and stop behaviors. All right, peace. Well, that's it for another episode of OCD Straight Talk. Feel free to reach out with any questions you might have to chrislines04@gmail.com. If you found the podcast helpful, consider giving it a 5-star rating or subscribing to OCD Straight Talk for structured help with your anxiety or OCD symptoms.